Radio.com.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply. It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. We have a great show planned today. During the first hour, I'm going to be talking to Dr. Giuseppe Grippa. We're going to be talking about the role of certain Italian cheeses in the ability to lower blood pressure. This is going to be a very, very interesting discussion, I can promise you. And then after Dr. Grippa is done with us, we're going to be joined by Dr. Mauro Di Pasquale to talk about, we're going to bust some myths within the physical culture community about the role of nitric oxide in both the development of strength, its effects on the pump, and maybe some negative effects that people don't like to talk about when they take their favorite nitric oxide boosting supplement. But before we get to that, I want to make a quick announcement that Thrive Protein, those of you who have been listening to the show for a while, you know Thrive Protein is the most advanced protein supplement on the market today. It is built around the blueprint created by human breast milk, by mother's milk. And we have an insane 62% off flash sale. That's right, 62% off for the next 24 hours, which means that it ends tomorrow on the 3rd at 12 o'clock this time. If you use the coupon code FLASH62, F-L-A-S-H-6-2, you will get it at this ridiculously low price. You go to Thrive Protein, THRIVProtein.com, to learn more about that wonderful product. So, you know, we know that blood pressure is a marker for a variety of different health problems in and of itself. It is very, very dangerous to have pathologically high blood pressure. Doctors are always talking to their patients about lowering blood pressure, and quite often meds are prescribed to lower blood pressure. But there may be other ways to lower blood pressure. My next guest is Dr. Giuseppe Grippa. How you doing, Dr. Grippa?
Fine, thank you.
Thank you. Well, very good. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So, first of all, your focus in your area of medicine is hypertension, correct?
Yes, that's true.
So, hypertension has become more of a problem as a result of the higher rate of type 2 diabetes in society today. Is that not right?
Yes, there is also a correlation between the incidence of diabetes and hypertension. That means that many hypertensive patients has also diabetes. And hypertension is extremely frequent in diabetic patients.
Well, and more to the point, as we're going to talk about this particular cheese, but also maybe some other mechanisms that have an effect on lowering blood pressure. The linkage between diabetes and hypertension is angiotensin converting enzyme, which seems to go up when insulin goes up, correct?
That's true, exactly. In diabetic patients, especially in obese diabetic patients, there is an increase in insulin secretion and a reduced insulin sensibility that increase the activity of this crucial mechanism of blood pressure regulation, that is angiotensin and renin system.
Now let's just dwell just a moment longer on angiotensin and the renin system just for a second. So the normal role of this hormone is to constrict peripheral blood vessels at times when the body is demanding to keep more of the blood close in, let's say, to the viscera. So for instance, maybe if you are being chased by a wild animal, the body is demanding a certain level of performance, and so the body will produce angiotensin converting enzyme in an effort to bring important blood closer to the organs and maybe to the muscles and away from the peripheral blood supply. Is that correct?
That's it. And it's a very important mechanism, particularly when we have some condition that cause a reduction of the perfusion of each organ, not only the viscera, but also and particularly the kidney. So when we, for example, have dehydration due to diarrhea or we have an hemorrhage, there is an activation that is very important to preserve renal function and to increase blood pressure in order to maintain flow in the kidney.
So, but in today's society, for a variety of reasons, and one of which, as we just talked about, the high prevalence of type 2 diabetes or insulin resistance, this hormone is being over-secreted. This system is being over-activated. It's almost like if you have a hose with water going through it, there's a certain pressure in there. But if the car tire pulls on and pinches the hose, the pressure goes up. So when this system is activated unnecessarily, inappropriately all the time, this is when we have a constant chronic elevation in blood pressure, correct?
Yes, it is not the only mechanism of essential hypertension, because there is also other mechanisms, such as an increase in cardiac contractility, for example, or in peripheral vascular resistance due to mechanism independent of the RAS system. However, the great majority of the drug used for treating hypertension act on this particular system, renin, angiotensin, aldosterone system, and they are extremely important for the treatment of our hypertensive patients.
Now, it was originally thought that the role of sodium in the diet was elevating blood pressure through this same system. And since you mentioned aldosterone, which is the hormone that's designed to help balance antidiuretic properties of the kidneys and so on, but there seems to be some emerging science that says maybe we got it wrong. Maybe too little of sodium in the diet may be just as bad as too much sodium in the diet. Have you seen some of this recent research?
Yes, but you have to take a look at basic science that clearly show that the population that doesn't know sodium, for example, Yanomamo Indian in the Amazon, do not know hypertension. Whether in population which have very high sodium intake, such as the north of Japan, hypertension is extremely frequent and definitely more frequent than in the rest of the world. So there is a clear link between sodium and hypertension. However, let me stress that the fundamental mechanism to lower blood pressure by using a diet is lowering sodium, but not avoiding sodium.
Interesting.
We have to restrict the amount of sodium, but not to avoid sodium.
Do you think that, and I know we haven't delved into your research yet, and we're going to in just a moment, but do you think part of the problem with the whole sodium debate is the different forms of sodium? So in other words, you know, sodium chloride is something that comes from seawater. We've been using this type of salt to prepare foods for hundreds of years. But now we have more sophisticated, more unique, more man-made types of sodium, sodium nitrates and sodium this and sodium that. Do you think that there is a way to tease out whether it's just sodium chloride that is harmful, or is it these other man-made sodium contributing to this problem?
There is no doubt that sodium chloride is the under control in our physiological mechanism, since the pump that in the kidney exchange sodium with chloride, and for one molecule of sodium chloride there is one of sodium and one of chloride. So the exchange is sodium versus chloride. So this is the principle, and that is the salt that we can found in nature, in many food, naturally occurring in the food. However, there is other salt containing sodium that are less important, but the normal amount that we used is definitely lower than sodium chloride, and furthermore, the property of adding taste to the food is not the same for other salt containing sodium.
Interesting. Very, very interesting. So here's what I want to do. I want to take our first commercial break, and when we come back, I want to delve into your research, because this is very, very fascinating to me.
Okay.
We're going to be talking about a specific type of cheese that appears to have an effect on the angiotensin-converting enzyme process. And this is very, very promising for people who want to use some sort of dietary approach to help manage their hypertension. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenadrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenadrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenadrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
The category killer is back. Mass Pro Synthogen, with results literally from workout one. You'll recover like you're a teenager again. If you've been pouring your heart out in the gym with little to nothing to show for it, you owe it to yourself to see the performance-enhancing and cosmetic effects it can make almost immediately. One user said, "I wish I could have tried it sooner. I just ordered 2 more bottles. And another, "The overall single best bodybuilding supplement I have personally ever used." Visit CoachRobRegis.com or Predator Nutrition. To learn more today. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
From the makers of GLC 2000, now comes Actistatin Pro Athlete. The Actistatin formula gives you all 4 forms of glucosamine and chondroitin, plus Actistatin's triple patented delivery method to optimize cellular uptake and utilization of glucosamines, chondroitin, ascorbate, and manganese. Regenerate and maintain cartilage. Promote joint mobility and flexibility. Replenish lost collagen. Get 20% off your next order using the coupon code SHR. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the GLC banner ad today. Push the limits. Feel the difference with Actistatin.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is, I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improve the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing. 4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advanced contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States and are low-heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advanced. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website.
Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advanced banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today. Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Yes, lady,
welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Giuseppe Crippa. We're going to talk about now the effects of perhaps a magic Italian cheese. I'm so proud to be Italian. That may actually affect blood pressure in a positive way. So, Dr. Crippa, what questions needed to be answered? What research preceded this that made you want to study this particular type of cheese, which is Grana Padano, right?
Yes, of course, there was a strong rationale because it can appear funny that a cheese can lower blood pressure. The rationale is that Grana Padano has an antihypertensive, probably an antihypertensive effect due to inhibition of the renin-angiotensin system, the system of which we have spoke a lot in the last few minutes. In vitro study showed that Grana Padano is able to inhibit the crucial enzyme of this mechanism. Furthermore, in spontaneous hypertensive rats, in animals, the administration of some three peptides contained in the Grana Padano, which are IPP and VPP, were able to reduce blood pressure significantly in such animals. So in 2010 we started a first study, an open study in which we tried to treat patients with Grana Padano, and 30 grams per day, a small amount that were included in the normal diet of the patient, and we obtained a significant result as far as blood pressure reduction was concerned. So we start a second study, which was randomized, double-blind, placebo-controlled, and crossover. A particular design that is made to avoid bias that can give some false result in medicine. This is a particular method of study that is used commonly for drug and not for functional food, as Grana Padano may be considered.
Okay, so let's talk about just for a second the IPP and the VPP. These are the result of a particular microbe that is used in the fermentation of this type of cheese, right, called Lactobacillus helveticus, correct?
Yes, that's right. Lactobacillus helveticus start the protein metabolization in the dairy product, but there are also many other activity and due to other mechanism that are not only due to the Bacillus helveticus, but also to some other enzyme that change the content of this tripeptide. In fact, when we match the effect of on the renin-angiotensin system of different cheese, we came across different results, and in particular speaking about Grana Padano, we have seen that the aging of the cheese is very important, since as much is the aging of the cheese, as lower is the activity of the cheese. So in this study we used a 12-month aging Grana Padano cheese.
Okay, now, but just for clarification, so I understand, the tripeptides, VPP and IPP, they are produced in the aging and fermentation process of the cheese, right? It's not from the digestion of something in the cheese. That's resident in the cheese itself from the manufacturing of it, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
And we have made the study with cheese that can be commonly obtained in the supermarket or in the stores.
Now, 30 grams, I mean, 28 grams is an ounce. This is a very small cube, though. It's very 1 inch by 1 inch square cube of cheese that the active group received every day, one cube of cheese, for how many days?
2 months.
2 months. And the other group, the blinded group, they got a combination of, I guess, what was bread, salt, and fat that really, to them, they didn't know it wasn't cheese, right? To them, it was very similar to the cheese itself.
Yes, that's it. The patient received two different compounds. It was not a cube, but it was grated. In the placebo, which was done with the bread, there is, and of course flavors, there was the same amount of sodium, calcium, magnesium, and fats contained in the Grana Padano. So there was absolutely similar as a taste and also as nutrition fact.
Interesting. Okay, so what did you learn from the study?
Well, we learned the crucial effect of a correct and healthy diet in hypertensive patients. And second, we learned that diet should not be a punishment. Diet may be a good diet, may be a tasty diet, and you can eat good food inside of your diet, even to treat some illness, and it is not necessary to think to a diet as something that is going to make you unhappy and that is going to change your life. Healthy diet may be a good diet.
But of the group that was actually getting the Grana Padano cheese, their blood pressure did go down. How far down did it go? How significant was this?
Yeah. First of all, the patient, the study was crossover. That means that the same patient in different period of time received both active treatment and Grana Padano. And this is very, active treatment and placebo, sorry. And that is very important because this increased the potency of the result in statistical terms. The result was that systolic blood pressure at the end of 2 months of treatment dropped of 6 millimeters of mercury, and diastolic blood pressure fell down of 5-6 millimeters of mercury. So a significant decrease in blood pressure, both for systolic and diastolic blood pressure.
Do you think that there would be a dose-dependent response? Do you think if somebody ate 2 ounces or 3 ounces a day that you would see a continued drop, or you think that's as far as you're going to get with that particular therapy?
First of all, it's not a therapy. It is a dietary integration.
Okay.
And we do not suggest to eat more than 30 grams, first of all, because 30 grams is active. And that's enough to normalize blood pressure in the majority of the patients we treated in the study. 67 of our patients normalized their blood pressure, considering that their blood pressure was not on target before the start of the study. So 30 grams is enough because if we increase the dose, we also increase the dose of fat, sodium, and other nutritional components of the diet, and that could be not good, and that could counteract the effect, the positive effect of 30 gram of Grana Padano. So we believe that 30 gram, that mean 6 tablespoons, is more than enough.
Right. Is the IPP and VPP, are they found in other types of cheese, Parmesan cheese, other types of Italian cheese that, or is it, this is very, very unique for this particular Grana Padano cheese?
We believe that IPP and VPP are present in also in other cheese, particularly those who use to start a fermentation the Lactobacillus helveticus. However, we know that from human experiment in which the isolated tripeptide were used, the result was not so exciting as those obtained with the Grana Padano.
Interesting.
Even considering that the amount of IPP and VPP was even higher than that contained in 30 grams of Grana Padano. So we believe that that is not the only active component of Grana Padano as far as blood pressure lowering effect.
Well, but let me ask you a question. Is it possible that, you know, peptides are just amino acids branched together? And we know from lots of research from the pharmaceutical industry that getting a peptide to be absorbed in the gut is very, very difficult. Otherwise, they would have had insulin pills a long time ago, which they're finally going to have one, quite frankly. I just read a study the other day. But anyway, with that being said, is it possible that the Grana Padano not only is providing the IPP and the VPP, but a way for the body to actually absorb it?
This is what we have to demonstrate, because we have demonstrated with one single cheese, which is really unique. We know that in other cheese there is a high concentration of IPP and VPP, but as you have told us, it is not necessary that the presence of this, the bioavailability of this tripeptide is crucial for the antihypertensive blood pressure effect. So it's a question very important. Where are present this tripeptide, and are they active as in the Grana Padano? This is a matter of future research.
Okay, I want to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, I want to talk more about this research, but I want to also ask you, I know that your group looked at other markers in these individuals, and I wanted to find out if you noticed anything else that was interesting from this. So we're going to take one quick commercial break. We'll be right back with more of Dr. Giuseppe Crippa. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned.
Proud to present Max HP, their most scientifically formulated pre-workout supplement to date, now available in two great tasting flavors, Tropic Fruit and Raspberry. Max HP is the most ultra-premium pre-workout available and is made without any artificial colors, flavors, or dye. Increasing blood flow to heighten anabolic activity, Max HP is designed to meet the heightened metabolic needs of high-performance athletes. Visit PrimeNutrition.com and use coupon code SUPERHUMANRADIO to receive 20% off of your entire order. Go to PrimeNutrition.com today.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at liveonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
A legendary name in hardcore supplementation. Iron Mag Labs. 100% original, patent-pending Andro compound. The most effective, hardcore, groundbreaking bodybuilding supplements in the world. Iron Mag Labs, revolutionizing hardcore supplementation for more than a decade. Visit IronMagLabs.com. IronMagLabs.com.
Nobel Prize-winning research shows telomeres are an important part of preventing cellular aging. Slowing down telomere shortenings promotes healthy cell replication and longevity. This is simple, folks. Supplement today with the longevity breakthrough of the century, Telos 95. Telos 95 provides the only scientifically validated telomere support ingredient in every capsule. Save 15% off when you use the code TELOS95. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Telos 95
95 banner ad. Age better with Telos 95, the cutting-edge technology that's a leap forward in the science of aging with research that was conducted by world experts on telomere analysis using worldwide patented technology.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. Phytoform has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
What do professional athletes such as Kobe Bryant and A-list celebrities such as Selma Hayek have in common? They are all touting the benefits of bone broth. But unless you have countless hours to cook every week or can hire your own personal chef, you're probably missing out on these critical nutrients. Osteobroth is a high-protein, standardized, consistent bone broth in a convenient powdered form. Use promo code SHR for 20% off at osteobroth.com.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Hi, my name is...
What?
My name is...
Who?
My name is...
Chicka,
welcome
Sadie.
Back.
Hi, my name is...
We're what? Talking with Dr. Giuseppe Crippa. We're talking about the effects of Grana Padano cheese. Run out and get some today. You just need about an ounce of it a day. And it could actually help reduce hypertension. Very, very exciting to me. You looked at other markers in these individuals, right? You looked at glucose levels. You looked at lipid levels and so on. Anything else change? Anything interesting?
Yes, we look at cholesterol, triglyceride, HDL cholesterol, glucose, calcium, phosphorus, sodium, magnesium, and potassium, of course. And we did not find any change in these variables at the end of the study, both compared with baseline and compared to placebo treatment.
So what? Obviously now the next step is to try to understand the mechanism that the Grana Padano seems to be different from taking these tripeptides directly in isolated form and so on. Are you guys working on, your group working on the next study already?
We are not ready for a new study because this is a very complicated stuff and a matter of in vitro studies. What we can... Hello?
Yes, I'm here. I'm here. I can hear you.
Okay. What we know is that sometime identification of a particular substance that is considered as the responsible of the effect may be wrong. This is the exact case of the, for example, the French paradox that you surely know.
Yes.
In the north of France, bad diet, bad smoking
lifestyle,
habit,
cigarette smoking, lifestyle, lots of alcohol. Yeah. Right, exactly. Yeah.
What correlated with a longer survival, in particular in better cardiovascular prognosis? And thus, they believe that it was the wine, and particularly an antioxidant component of the Bordeaux, which was resveratrol. However, apparently, the study conducted with resveratrol didn't show the same result that population study have shown. Yeah. So when we speak about a functional food, not isolated tripeptide, a functional food is a food that have nutrition property, ordinary nutrition property, but some other activity and Grana Padano so is a nutrient, but is have also some different activity which are expressed by our study as antihypertensive dietary integration. And so we cannot exclude that there are some other component of grana padano that help the effect of the tripeptide, or even that calcium and potassium content that are known to be active in the treatment of hypertension may be responsible for the synergic effect of these nutrients.
Very, very interesting. Now, do you like grana padano cheese, Dr. Grippa? Do you like it?
Yes, of course. It is a cheese typical of our region. It was born in Piacenza more than 1,000 years ago, and so it's part of our common diet.
Right. In fact, there's a restaurant that I go to when I go to Las Vegas that they actually give you big chunks of grana padano cheese when you first sit down as like an appetizer. They have the whole wheel there, and they just carve it out of the wheel, and I love it. It's fantastic cheese.
And I would like to remember that, for example, if you have an aperitif with a glass of an Italian wine, of course, Prosecco, for example, and 30 grams of grana padano cheese, we have a definitely lower intake of sodium with respect to a Bloody Mary and pretzel, for example, which is another typical way of having an aperitif. So grana padano and Prosecco is better.
I like that. You know what I like even better? I'm not crazy about Prosecco, but I love, I like a little Campari on the rocks, a little bit of Campari. Or if I really feel like going wild, I'll have a Negroni. But, that's my style. Well, listen, I want to thank you so much for making time, to come on the show and talk about this. This is exciting research, and I definitely will be, looking for grana padano cheese that's aged at least 12 months. To bring into the house. Thank you so much, Dr.
Thank
Kripa.
Thank you. It has been a pleasure.
All right, bye-bye. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenadrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenadrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenadrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
Prime Nutrition is proud to present Max HP, their most scientifically formulated pre-workout supplement to date, now available in 2 great-tasting flavors, Tropic Fruit and Raspberry. Max HP is the most ultra-premium pre-workout available and is made without any artificial colors, flavors, or dye. Increasing blood flow to heighten anabolic activity, Max HP is designed to meet the heightened metabolic needs of high-performance athletes. Visit PrimeNutrition.com and use coupon code SuperhumanRadio to receive 20% off of your entire order. Go to PrimeNutrition.com today.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improve the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest protein bar, now comes the Quest high protein potato chips with 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit
Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LivonLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's LivonLabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, Labs.com.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Welcome back. This song has a curse word in the beginning. I have to lower it very quickly. There you go. This is a family-friendly show. I have a little time to kill before Dr. DePasquale comes on, so I figured I would chat with you about the never-ending saga, which is the aging process of my body. So I got my cast off today. You know, I had the tricep muscle reattached last week and got the cast off today, and they said it's healing nicely. They took the staples out. And I'm allowed to do things with the arm, but not the, I can only use the weight of the arm, you know, to move my arm around. He suggested that I wear my sling to remind me, not to try to be too active with it. It's going to take about, 4.5-5 weeks longer for it to completely heal where I can then start putting weight on it. But this is, you know, I mean, this is great. That cast was, I haven't slept well since I had the surgery. And I think it's because trying to sleep with that cast, it was digging into my wrist. I have a raw spot, right where on the pinky side of my hand at my wrist. Because I guess at night when I would sleep, I don't know, the way I was rolling over or the way I was laying, the cast was moving down and digging into my hand. I'm really looking forward to going to sleep tonight without that stupid thing on my arm. Coach Wade Johnson has invited me to come down to his gym once I am all healed up and start working with him. I've had so many kind people reach out to me and say, you know, anything we can do to help. It's really one of the great benefits of doing this show is all the great friends that I have. And so I would be lying to you if I didn't say that I am a bit depressed, that I kept thinking that I was the one that wasn't going to age because I do the show, I live the life, I use the peptides, I take the supplements, you know, I wear the blue blockers. I mean, I do all this stuff, and I really thought I was the one that wasn't going to age, but my body is, this year has been a year for injuries for me. And they've happened really pretty close together. My left foot. So I don't know if I told you guys this story, but if I did, I'm sorry. But if I didn't, I'll tell you now. When I went to visit Quest last month, I wore a green pair of pants, and I had these Puma sneakers that have green on them. They don't fit me. I have a wide foot. I mean, I love to wear my five fingers for that reason. But Puma sneakers are a narrow cut sneaker. On top of that, these particular sneakers, they're Formula One sneakers. Okay. They have like the Ferrari emblem on them. They come to a point. They almost look like, they almost look like a ballet shoe. And some of you may know what I'm talking about. It's a Puma sneaker. It's white. It's got the green Puma emblem outlined. It's got a little Ferrari thing on the back, and it's a very, very narrow, pointy sneaker. I wore those because I was wearing green pants. I was like, oh, I have those Puma sneakers. They would look great. I never wear these sneakers. Never. Because they're just too thin, they're too narrow for me. They just don't feel good. But I thought, oh, I'm traveling, you know, I'm going to wear them. I'll look really good, you know, traveling today. Big mistake. I've always joked about how women wear uncomfortable shoes and men would never do that, but I did it. I wore a pair of uncomfortable shoes because they would look good. And when, right where that shoe bends and my instep, about 2 inches, an inch and a half back from my toes, right at my instep, that's where that shoe bent. In fact, they laced up the side. They didn't lace up the top like most sneakers do. They laced up the side to give you a better picture of what the sneaker looks like. And every time I took a step, the shoe dug into my instep. So you think, you know, thousands of steps a day because I'm traveling, I'm running through airports, I'm changing flights and so on and so forth. And then when I got to Quest, instead of going to my room and taking the stupid things off, I wore them the rest of the day. Well, what ended up happening was where that shoe kept flexing and digging into my instep, it actually caused nerve damage. That's right. The nerves that run between the toes were actually crushed over and over again, where I developed something called a traumatic hammer toe. My second toe, not the big toe, but the one next to it, is like, it looks like it's all crunched up and the knuckle is sticking straight up just because of those stupid shoes that I wore. I mean, this is how simple injuries can happen. It's just unbelievable. So now I'm looking at the prospect of having a surgery on my foot next to have that ligament that's pulled tight snipped so my toe can come back down again. Well, needless to say, this has made cardio a real pain in the foot because I've got this toe that doesn't want to flex and it's causing more pressure back behind where the injury is, and it's exacerbating the nerve problem in my foot. So I'm like, oh man, I can't do cardio. I mean, I can do cardio. I did step mill yesterday, and that I can do. I'm fine because you're really not flexing your toes as much. And I can do elliptical machine and bicycle work, and that's what I'm going to have to do for a while until I can go and get the surgery to have this toe straightened out. I'm like, what the F is going on? I dislocated my shoulder, I tore my tricep, and I injured my foot terribly. I mean, just severely injured my foot, all within the course of a month. So needless to say, I'm sad because I've been going to the gym. I've been training legs very, very light. I've been training right side, you know, doing push-pull, overhead pressing with dumbbells and stuff like that. But I really can't train. I can't get into it and really train hard right now. I don't want to go too heavy with my legs right now because I'm supposed to be kind of recuperating. That was the whole purpose of, okay, I'm going to have the surgery. I had this epiphany. There's more to life than training. Well, I got to tell you something. There's not. I mean, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. There is more to life than just training. But for me, if I don't start my day off with like a really, really hard workout, I don't feel good the rest of the day. I just don't feel right. I don't sleep well. I don't necessarily have any appetite. I'm not hungry because I'm not training. I don't want to eat anything. And I really feel like I'm falling apart. And it's sad. And I understand that this isn't the end of the line for me, but inside my mind, I keep thinking, oh my God, what if I don't bounce back from all this? What if I just don't? What if my foot is always a problem? What if my tricep never really heals to its fullest strength again? You know, what do I do? How am I going to work around all this stuff? And the realization that, you know, I'm going to be 58 years old on the 11th, right? So that's just, 9 days away. It's really been depressing for me. I haven't felt this way. I can't remember the last time I've been this like sad inside, where I'm actually having lots of horrible negative thoughts all the time about my future. And I'm sharing this with you because I know what you're saying. You call, you're going to get through this. And I know that on some deeper level. But I'm sharing this with you because I do this show and I come in here and talk about all this great stuff about health and fitness and longevity and training and all this sort of stuff. But I'm no different than any of you out there. I mean, I hit these brick walls from time to time. And sometimes it's even worse for me. And I'll tell you why. I was talking to Alex Leaf a couple weeks ago and I said, you know, I'm thinking that maybe I should start thinking about retiring from doing this show. Because if I can't walk the walk, I can't do this show anymore. I'd be a fraud. I'm not going to be that guy. And I was saying to Alex, you know, maybe I need to start thinking about bringing a guest host on from time to time, somebody that I can eventually hand the baton to and say, you take over Superhuman Radio. So it just doesn't go by the wayside. I don't want to ever let the show just fall apart. But maybe I'm not the guy to do the show anymore. I mean, I've seriously been thinking about that. And again, I'm just sharing. I'm being very honest and very upfront and sharing my thoughts with you. You know, if you're taking issue with the things that I'm saying, message me, and I'd love to have dialogue with you. Hell, if you're listening to the show, well, I don't have a phone. I don't have the my digital multiplexer is on its way back. When it gets back, then I'll be able to take phone calls. I was going to say I could have somebody call in right now and lecture me. But my point is this. I am no different than anybody else in this audience. I saw a post on Facebook this morning where somebody was saying, you know, how they're having a hard time with something. And it's like, we are all always having a hard time with something. You may think that somebody else is just doing better than you, and they're not. They just are better at hiding it. That's all it is. But yeah, it's this has been very tough for me. It still is. I'm not out of it. It's not like I'm looking back at it and going, oh man, that was tough. It still is. I mean, I have a deep sense of sadness right now because I feel like, oh man, you know, I am not going to be able to train the way I've always trained, which maybe wasn't smart anyway. I'm not going to be able to do the things that I want to do, you know? I mean, like I'm thinking, well, what if I can never run again? What if my left foot really, even with the surgery, never gets back to where it really is supposed to be? And, you know, I'm relegated to, you know, Stairmasters, elliptical machines, and bicycles, and I can't run. And it's not like as though I run all the time. It's not like, oh, yeah, you know, I play a sport, I have to run, and now I can't. But it's just the idea, the finality of not being able to do that anymore. So, I just feel very, very, I don't know. It's just, I'm a little confused, to be honest with you right now, about what direction I'm supposed to take, what I'm supposed to do to fix all this, or should I just sit back and kind of let it work its way out? It's just tough, just very, very tough. And, I thought that I would share that with you guys. Anyway, let's see what else. Just waiting for Dr. DePasquale to, I'm going to try connecting him right now. Let's just see something. He may be out there waiting for me. Nope, he's not yet. Oh, I figured I would try. But that's it. What else is going on? We have a great Casual Friday planned for tomorrow. Lisa's been working on it feverishly. We've got lots of great stories because we had to take off last week. I had to take off last week because of my surgery. The day after my surgery, I came in and did the show, but the truth is I didn't feel good. That anesthesia, man, I'm telling you, it took me a few days to shake that off. In fact, when I went today to have the cast taken off, so here's some funny stuff. We'll probably talk more about this tomorrow on Casual Friday. When they gave me the anesthesia, it was intravenous. And I started to feel like really good. And I remember saying to the anesthesiologist, wow, this reminds me of Quaaludes when I was a kid. And he laughed really hard. And then I don't remember anything after that, but apparently I was very talkative. I said some ridiculous things that I only learned about when I was waking up in the recovery room. And Elisa was like, do you remember anything that you said before the surgery? And I said, no. I said, I don't remember anything after when she started to squeeze that syringe. I remember saying, oh, this feels really good. I remember feeling warm, and I do remember saying, wow, this is what Quaaludes used to feel like. I said, but I don't remember anything after that. And so when I was talking to Dr. Richardson, Ty Richardson, he's the guy who did my surgery, I said, was I completely out during the surgery? He goes, no. He goes, we did have to finally put you completely out. He said, because you wanted to talk through the whole surgery. So I don't know, you know, I didn't ask him what I was talking about, obviously, but Elisa is going to report tomorrow. Apparently I said some really funny things that, the nurses and the anesthesiologist and the doctor got a kick out of, before I actually went in for the surgery. But anyway, I guess I'm fortunate. My arm is out of the cast. I am moving it around. It's, you know, I'm being very gentle with it. And I just long for the day that I can go to the gym and train, hard and heavy again. And I know that my good friend, Dr. John Chrysler, will tell me, oh, you're stupid. You shouldn't be lifting so heavy. But then again, I don't know that he's right. So I just saw a picture of Robbie Robinson the other day. He's 70 years old. The guy is muscular and ripped to shreds. He just did a show at 70. I mean, if Robbie can do it, why can't the rest of us? I mean, really, when you think about it, it's just a matter of wanting to do it and getting it done. Anyway, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we should have Dr. Mario DePasquale on the show when we come back. Thanks for listening to me. Feel free to email me your comments. If I'm a whiny ass, tell me. On air at superhumanradio.com or on my Facebook page. All right, we'll be right back.
Madebyhemp.com sells the highest quality products derived from industrial hemp, raw oils high in CBD, tinctures, and salves. You can also get fashionable apparel made from industrial hemp at madebyhemp.com. CBD is a constituent of industrial hemp that has no psychoactive properties, but has been shown to provide a variety of health benefits. Go to madebyhemp.com today and take a look at all of our amazing products. Use the coupon code SHR to save 25% off your entire order. Madebyhemp.com, your one-stop shop for all things hemp on the web.
A legendary name in hardcore supplementation. Iron Mag Labs. 100% original, patent-pending Andro compound. The most effective, hardcore, groundbreaking bodybuilding supplements in the world.
In the world.
Iron Mag Labs. Revolutionizing hardcore supplementation for more than a decade. Visit IronMagLabs.com. IronMagLabs.com.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LivonLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's LivonLabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, Labs.com.
4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advanced contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States and are low-heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advanced. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advanced banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizol, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizol works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
The category killer is back. Mass Pro Synthogen, with results literally from workout one. You'll recover like you're a teenager again. If you've been pouring your heart out in the gym with little to nothing to show for it, you owe it to yourself to see the performance-enhancing and cosmetic effects it can make almost immediately. One user said, I wish I could have tried it sooner. I just
has ordered two more bottles and another, the overall single best bodybuilding supplement I have personally ever used. Visit CoachRobRegis.com or PredatorNutrition.com to learn more today. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Welcome back. You know, nitric oxide boosters have been all the rage for a very, very long time. They've even gotten more sophisticated. Some of them work, some of them don't. But what do we really know about the role of nitric oxide in the development of strength and contractile force, pump, and all the other supposed benefits that they're supposed to bring? Of course, my next guest is Dr. Mauro Di Pasquale. How you doing, Mauro?
I'm just fine, Carl. Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you great. And this is something near and dear to your heart. You know, I remember reading a study that actually came from the University of Kentucky. It's probably well over 10 years ago now, that showed that increasing nitric, intramuscular nitric oxide actually was not beneficial to contractile force because it interferes with calcium channel function in muscle fibers, which is contrary to why people take this stuff. They think that it's going to make them stronger, and in fact, it has the potential to make them weaker. Well, I mean, there are so many myths out there about nitric oxide. Where do you want to start?
Well, first of all, there's a lot of misinformation out there, obviously, on the internet, especially for people who want to push their products. But it's a very complex system. I mean, the basics of nitric oxide is that it basically increases blood flow and causes a vasodilation and increases nutrients, oxygen availability, etc., to whatever area is involved, including skeletal muscle, the brain, any other tissues. But there's still a lot of research to be done, and there's a lot of contradictory studies as well. And there are significant side effects to using nitrate, for example, beetroot juice, not so much with L-arginine because of the way L-arginine forms nitric oxide. You know, the L-arginine to citrulline to nitric oxide production requires oxygen, requires ATP, and it's tightly regulated in the body. The nitric oxide mechanism doesn't require oxygen. It's not as tightly regulated, and depending on dosages, et cetera, can cause problems. And I'll give you a very simple example of that. There's a study that was done, I don't know, think about 2002, 2004, that showed that low levels of nitrate in the diet increased steroidogenesis. In other words, had a beneficial effect on testosterone production, whereas higher rates decreased steroidogenesis and had an adverse effect on testicles, both the Leydig cells, which produce the testosterone, and also spermatogenesis, the formation of sperm, etc. So it's very gray, many of the issues.
And you know, the funny thing is that this is how everything is today. You know, we lived in a world of bliss 10, 15 years ago where, increasing nitric oxide, only good, no bad. We know that high nitric oxide levels are also correlate with certain types of cancers. There's emerging research out there that shows that nitric oxide may actually be a blood gas of stress. In other words, the body produces nitric oxide to the response of stress, so elevating nitric oxide levels may artificially create an environment of stress for the body.
That's true. Sorry for interrupting. That's true for the arginine, citrulline, nitric oxide pathway. May not be as true for the nitrate because of the lack of oxygen utilization and the lack of or a decrease in radical production.
So let me ask you a question that I've always wondered. So can nitric oxide donate to oxygen? So in other words, let's say we have a heart that is going into an ischemia. Can the nitric oxide be cleaved to render just the oxygen for the heart?
That's a fascinating question, actually, and nobody really knows. There's theories of why nitric oxide increases, mitochondrial efficiency, increases, for example, a short-term power output, increases some endurance effects, more so on athletes that are sort of just working out rather than elite athletes where it has much less of an effect, if any. Can it be cleaved? Well, it does produce hydrogen peroxide. Nitrates do.
That's not necessarily good, is it?
No, that's not necessarily good. But hydrogen peroxide itself can be also a good thing or a bad thing. Usually most people think of hydrogen peroxide as being an oxidant, destructive, you know, it's used for cleaning and all that kind of stuff. In the body, it's a free radical production. It can cause, damage to tissues, cause all kinds of malevolent stuff. But it also seems to have a positive effect in that it may have what they call a hermetic effect. Are you familiar with the hermetic effect?
Yeah, sure. Hermetic effect. And we've talked about hormesis on the show for a long time. You know, it's a little bit of poison makes you resistant to a larger dose of poison.
Exactly. And it can also have other effects contrary to what a higher dose would have, for example. There's so many gray areas. The whole business, for example, of nitrization, where you actually mentioned this earlier about it causing cancers and stuff. Well, you know, there are certain compounds that combine with the nitrogen oxide, amino acids and proteins, etc., and produce carcinogenic nitrization compounds, and these can affect thyroid cancer, can affect cancer of the stomach. It may affect Alzheimer's. It may affect even diabetes. You know, we don't know yet. There's a 2014 paper which implicates the increase in nitrates in our environment to various diseases like Alzheimer's and diabetes. You know, I mean, diseases that are becoming more rampant nowadays.
We can't talk about nitric oxide supplements today without talking about pharmaceuticals as well, because there's a large crossover. There's a lot of bodybuilders and athletes out there who are using now more sophisticated phosphodiesterase 5 inhibitors for both recreational purposes, but also because they believe that they enhance the pump and stuff like that. So now we have more sophisticated means of manipulating nitric oxide production, but it seems to be with a great deal of specificity. Is there anything emerging? Like for instance, I read that PDE5 inhibitors can cause the stomach to become, the pH to drop dramatically, become more acidic. I don't know what that means, but clearly they have an effect on stomach acid. So do we know anything about these PDE5 inhibitors and their role in nitric oxide manipulation and any dangers?
Well, the PDE5 inhibitors are again, complex. Sure, they increase nitric oxide levels. They increase it, so erectile dysfunction decreases, etc. But they have some malevolent side effects as well. And we're not aware of all of them. One of them, of course, is that when you introduce something in the body that does a certain function which the body is supposed to do naturally, the body loses the ability to do that function again. So the trouble with some of the things like Viagra, et cetera, is the people that use them find that when they don't use them, they don't function well. In other words, before they started using them, they may not have been functioning all that well, but they were functioning. They use these PDE5 inhibitors, and when they don't use them, they can't perform at all.
Right.
So, I mean, that's a physiological effect. There are all kinds of effects in a body that it can have, but again, they haven't been delineated. There haven't been enough studies.
Yeah, and that's the scary part. So let's get back to what are the positives? What are the benefits? What are the circumstances where we would want to increase nitric oxide production?
All right. Well, the study's done with more than nitrates and nitrites these days, and I'm not sure if you know about the how nitrates and nitrites interact. Are you familiar with the?
No. I'm not clear about it. But keep in mind that they are using nitrates and nitrites in sports supplements now as nitric oxide boosters. So explain how they work.
Well, what happens basically is nitrates are almost 100% absorbable in the stomach. They then enter the circulation. They're brought back to, most of it, a lot of it is brought back to the salivary glands. Salivary glands in the mouth change it to nitrite. And the nitrite is then swallowed, and some of it is used by the stomach to make NO, and this is where they figure they have either carcinogenic effects or beneficial effects. For example, people might be able to use the nitrites for increasing NO in the stomach and decreasing the effect of aspirin, for example, on bleeding. So we have that. Anyways, so what happens is, so the nitrite is also absorbed about 95, 96, 97% into the body. And these then go into various tissues. And by a variety of means, a variety of circumstances in the body, for example, low hemoglobin levels. I don't mean low hemoglobin, sorry. I mean low reduced hemoglobin. In other words, where there's less oxygen available in the hemoglobin and in the myoglobin in muscle tissue will induce the formation of nitric oxide from the nitrate, also, there's felt to be a repository of nitrate and even nitrite in various tissues in the body, including the brain, skeletal muscle, kidney, liver, etc. So it's very complex interactions, which again haven't been fully worked out as to what effects specifically under what circumstances these substances have. So anyways, we're looking at physical, what effects do they have on physical performance, body composition, etc.
Right.
Well, it's been shown, for example, that the use of nitrates, whether it's in the form of beetroot juice, whether it's in the form of sodium nitrate, potassium nitrate, which, by the way, has a history as saltpeter. I don't know if you know that.
It's saltpeter, you said?
Yeah, potassium nitrate is saltpeter.
That's what they use to make to remove libido, to kill libido.
Yeah, that hasn't been totally proven, but definitely that's been the common consensus for hundreds of years now.
Right.
Anyways, whether or not these substances are used or not depends on the effects it has on the body. But what happens is when they use, there's been literally, I don't know, maybe over 100 studies now that have shown that the use of beetroot juice and or the use of nitrate as a supplement has beneficial effects on exercise. So the basis seems to be a reduction in the oxygen cost of exercise and reduced VO2 max, so that the amount of ATP that's needed, amount of energy that's needed, for the same kind of exertion seems to be less. So there's a decrease in the use of creatine, for example. There's a decrease in the use of other energy substances. But this is the interesting part. The nitrates, whether in the form of natural or in the form of chemicals, just let me turn off something.
Yeah, sure, take it on.
It's interfering with the with what I'm seeing here. Okay.
Whether it's naturally occurring nitrates, which we even find in celery, quite frankly, it's not just beetroot juice. I mean, there's a lot of, and right now there's a beetroot juice manufacturer that they're selling a ton of this stuff, telling people it's good to lower blood pressure and give you more energy. So it's becoming a very mainstream product.
Well, it's actually really heavy in a lot of greens. the
But I'm sorry, I derailed you. I was waiting for you.
No, I'm not sorry. I just wanted to bring out the fact that spinach, for example.
Yes.
Arugula.
Arugula is another one. Arugula.
Yeah. Arugula is high, you know, which is there's a whole bunch of cabbage. Any various kinds of lettuce. Some kinds of lettuce are really, really high, up to five grams per kilogram. So obviously, there's a lot of vegetables, for example, have nitrates. Some much higher than others. So what we have here is an ingestion of nitrates from either compounds or natural sources. Okay.
Right.
Now, there's been some studies that have shown that the natural source doesn't seem to have exactly the same properties as the various forms of nitrates that are taken, or nitrites. But that's only been a study that was done a couple months ago. So we don't know for sure. I mean, it has to be replicated, et cetera. But let's just assume that they're basically the same. Nitrate is nitrate, whether it comes from vegetables and cured meats, cured cheeses, bacon, that kind of stuff, drinking water, for example, has a certain amount of nitrates. Some well water can have very high levels of nitrates. Tap water has nitrates. Even bottled water has nitrates. So we're getting nitrates from all kinds of sources. And some people, again, as I mentioned, believe that this excess amount of nitrates that we're getting naturally from our environment is causing all kinds of problems. So here we are. Now we're going to add more nitrates in supplements. So, whether or not this is going to be beneficial or not. But anyways, as far as power output, there's been studies have shown there's been an increase in power output. There's been a decrease in an increase in the efficiency of exercise, more so for exercise that's sort of anaerobic and periods of aerobic to anaerobic. Not so much for long distance, for example, for all marathon runners, etc. So there's a variation depending on the type of athlete. CrossFit trainers would benefit because of the hockey players. Anything where there's intermittent and anaerobic response seems to be more beneficial in those instances than in other instances. So the cardiovascular effects, there's a cardioprotective effect with certain doses. Whether there's a cardioprotective effect or a cardio ill effects on high doses is at this point unknown. We do have definite studies that show that it helps increase exercise performance, increase power, beneficial in various sports, more beneficial in people who are not as fit as people who are really fit. In other words, the really elite athlete gets very little from taking nitrates and other substances. Interesting thing is, you're familiar with the Sherpas, aren't you?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Yeah. Now, one of the side effects of having high levels of nitrate in the body, there's many side effects, and we can go through this, is a decrease in erythropoietin.
Oh, yeah.
And hemoglobin levels.
I mean, you don't want that if you're an endurance athlete. They're trying to raise those.
Exactly. I mean, erythropoietin has a lot of beneficial effects. Especially on performance and et cetera, but it does decrease it, and it's dose and time dependent. The more you take it, the chronic use tends to decrease erythropoietin, hemoglobin levels decrease. Now, the Sherpas, for example, they're able to work at these very high altitudes, have lowered hemoglobin levels, but high nitrite levels.
Interesting.
Yeah, so whether or not this is going to be really, in the long term, is it going to be beneficial for an athlete? Well, first of all, nitrogen oxide production inhibits steroidogenesis. So your testosterone levels are going to decrease. Your erythropoietin is going to decrease. You have an increased possibility of getting thyroid and other cancers. Your metabolic rate decreases when you're not exercising. So is this going to be something that's going to hinder body composition? Tolerance. There's a tolerance to nitrates and nitrates. After a while, chronically taken, they stop working very well. And we see this, and let me bring this up now because it's something that is kind of a pet peeve of mine. the synthetic nitrates, like nitroglycerin, et cetera, that are used, by the way, athletes use nitroglycerin as an ergogenic compound. They're called organic nitrates. And the ones that come from natural sources are called inorganic nitrates. Now talk about confusion. I mean, organic, usually you think of something that comes naturally in the food.
Right.
They've mixed it all around. So now when you're dealing with nitrates from beetroot juice or any other organic, you know, the lettuces, et cetera, they're inorganic nitrates. So you keep that in mind whenever you read that.
And
don't think of the drugs themselves. The tolerance effect is interesting because when you're using, and I've known about this for many, many years, obviously, because of my medical practice, et cetera, nitroglycerin, isosorbide, all those compounds tend to lose their effectiveness the more they're used. And you have to come up with sort of a scheme to have these people just use it when they really need it so that it has an effect. So with nitrates, it's been shown, for example, that you don't let it, unlike creatine, you don't need a loading effect of nitrates to get some of the beneficial effects on exercise, you know. The increased mitochondrial efficiency, decreased ATP production, decreased utilization of oxygen, an amelioration of problems you run into in hypoxic states, which would be anaerobic performances.
Yeah, weightlifting.
And there's so much information, you know, things go through my mind. A study has shown, for example, that using nitrates, et cetera, is more beneficial for type 2 rather than type 1 muscle fibers. So we know that type 2 muscle fibers are more sensitive to deprivation of oxygen, hypoxia, et cetera. So it seems like it helps those muscles better.
See, and that's why I keep wondering if nitric oxide can be cleaved and render oxygen.
That's why I keep thinking that because of these reasons.
Let's do this. Yeah. Let's take a quick commercial break, Marl.
Okay.
All right. When we come back on the other side, we'll delve deeper into the whole nitric oxide myths. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Marl DePasquale. Stay tuned.
Prize-winning research shows telomeres are an important part of preventing cellular aging. Slowing down telomere shortenings promotes healthy cell replication and longevity. This is simple, folks. Supplement today with the longevity breakthrough of the century, Telos 95. Telos 95 provides the only scientifically validated telomere support ingredient in every capsule. Save 15% off when you use the code TELOS95. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Telos 95 banner ad. Age better with Telos 95, the cutting-edge technology that's a leap forward in the science of aging with research that was conducted by world experts on telomere analysis using worldwide patented technology.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
From the makers of GLC 2000, now comes Actistatin Pro Athlete. The Actistatin formula gives you all four forms of glucosamine and chondroitin, plus Actistatin's triple patented delivery method to optimize cellular uptake and utilization of glucosamines, chondroitin, ascorbate, and manganese. Regenerate and maintain cartilage. Promote joint mobility and flexibility. Replenish lost collagen. Get 20% off your next order using the coupon code SHR. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the GLC banner ad today. Push the limits. Feel the difference with Actistatin.
4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advanced contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States and are low heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advanced. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advanced banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LivonLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's LivonLabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, Labs.com.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
Welcome back. We're talking about nitric oxide boosters and the role of nitric oxide in performance, body recomposition, and really in health as well. Mauro, let me ask you a direct question. Is there any reason for someone to take a nitric oxide booster? Yes or no?
No.
Okay. And if someone was going to take a nitric oxide booster, it sounds to me from what you said earlier that L-arginine is a safer bet.
It is a safer bet because it's more controlled in the body. The nitric oxide pathway seems to be almost rogue to a certain extent. The more you take, the more you have effects. Whereas that's not the case with arginine. It's interesting. Now, arginine requires oxygen, so under hypoxic condition, that pathway isn't as effective as the nitric oxide pathway. So, you know, what gets me is all the research that I've read, and I've gone through literally several hundred papers. Nitric oxide and its metabolite, which is peroxynitrate, and they both increase when you use nitrate supplementation. They negatively influence the mitochondria, the respiration. They have a direct effect in decreasing ATP production. And I'm going, well, how can it cause some observable improvement in some exercise modalities when it has this negative effect on respiration, on production of ATP. And you ask this question, well, can it be cleaved to form oxygen? Well, studies have shown that the VO2 max, the amount of oxygen used when they measure the oxygen through measuring the breath and the amount that comes out, et cetera, all the methods that they have, shows that there's a decrease in oxygen formation. So, is there another pathway involving, for example, hydrogen peroxide, which may have an effect on that? Or does it cause, some papers postulate that it increases the efficiency of using some of the macromolecules of the Krebs cycle efficiency. Some people postulate that it has an effect on the ATP-ADP ratio. There's all kinds of hypotheses, but no one's really nailed it down. And I'm wondering, taking large amounts of this nitrate stuff with all the potential side effects, the carcinogenic and other side effects it has on erythropoietin, decreased testosterone, is it really worth it? The chronic use seems to me that it's counterproductive in the long run.
All right, so when you and I first met, I had been using a home-brewed transdermal aromatase inhibitor that really made me sick, caused my endocrine system to completely crash. You had postulated at that time that what I had done, and there's a reason I'm telling this whole backstory, that what I had done at that point in time was the same thing that they use, the same effect that they do androgen deprivation therapy by overstimulating the pituitary and the Leydig cells till they just can't produce any more testosterone. I had effectively done that by my abuse of these transdermally delivered aromatase inhibitors, and my endocrine system crashed, and you and I shared some emails, and I said, you know, these are suicide inhibitors. They attach to the aromatase. There's a lot of people out there, bro science, who say that once you stop taking these aromatase inhibitors, there's a boomerang period where the aromatase enzyme, because it's been so suppressed and the body is trying to produce more and more in demand of the suppression, that when you stop using them, that the aromatase enzyme goes through the roof for a period of time, and it takes a while for it to stabilize. Speaking to the people who've been using these nitric oxide boosters and tagging that to what you said before, that the body stops producing what it normally produces on its own, don't you think that there's a period of time that if they stop using them, that the body can recover and get back to a homeostatic position where it's producing its own nitric oxide on demand in appropriate times?
That's a possibility. I mean, any time you use something that the body's used to using, you're shutting down certain mechanisms. Can these mechanisms come back, and can they come back in a relevant time period? We know, for example, that the overuse of testosterone and anabolic steroids has a deleterious effect in killing off the Leydig cells that produce testosterone. So that when people go off these substances, especially if they had normal levels beforehand, and then stay on it for a period of time, and then go off them, they don't have the machinery anymore to produce a normal level like they had before they started. So, and I've been treating people in my practice with the inability to get normal levels of testosterone by using certain compounds, and I don't want to go through that right now because some of it is fairly controversial, and I don't do that anymore.
Right.
But I did for a period of time to help people get past the suppression of their own HPTA, the hypothalamic pituitary testicular axis. And what you were mentioning before is very common in prostate cancers. They'll use an LHRH, a luteinizing hormone-releasing hormone agonist, which acts all the time. And as it acts all the time, it shuts the system down.
But I eventually did bounce back. And my point being that at some point in time, the aromatase biogenesis landscape did correct itself. And I would think that the body could... Now, I understand the reduction in the machinery. I mean, I suffer from testicular atrophy because I've been on testosterone therapy since 2007. There's no hope of me ever coming off, not with even radical, therapeutic approaches to re-stimulating steroidogenesis.
I agree with you.
The testicular shrinkage, the sheer mass loss, I'm never going to be able to produce that testosterone again. But with nitric oxide being a blood gas and being a blood gas that has relationships to other blood gases, it seems to me that if someone stopped using these nitric oxide promoters, their workouts may suffer for a while and they may even suffer for a while. But if they keep training, and that's where the magic is for me too. Like even when I was going through that whole problem with the aromatase inhibitors, I kept training. If you just sit still, yeah, your body may never come back. But if they keep training, I have to believe that the body will now adapt and respond and start to produce appropriate amounts of nitric oxide on demand when necessary again.
I agree because, we kind of covered this in the epigenetics aspect of the show, about a month or so back, a month and a half. Sure, the body is not, it's not static. It changes by split seconds at times. You change the environment, then of course, things will come back to normal, unless you've actually destroyed part of the machinery, which you wouldn't do with the nitric oxide, you can with the anabolic steroids, etc., then it will go back to so that you react as you were before you started using those compounds.
So it sounds to me like you are not a proponent of nitric oxide supplements, the nitric oxide boosting supplements, by and large, other than what you would get from your diet if you ate enough green leafy vegetables and had beets periodically and stuff like that.
I at this point, yeah, that's my belief, you know, but, you know, research is still pretty young. The ADI levels, which are, you know, sort of the acceptable daily intake of nitrate, which was set back in, oh, hell, like over 50 years ago, in Europe, and it was set at, around 300 milligrams for maybe an 80 kilogram person, and they figured that that was the acceptable daily intake. Well, we're looking at levels that are 10, 20, 30 times that people are taking. We don't know what effect it will have on the whole body system. Sure, it may actually improve performance in the short term, but in the long term, I believe it's going to cause problems. Now, should a person use these compounds maybe just in competition? So that they don't, you know, it's just like a one-time shot or a couple-time shot, and then they leave it alone for a while. So it really doesn't have an effect on depressing any of the bodily systems. Maybe it would work that way. The other thing too is you got to be careful of the nitrosamine formation that takes place with protein intake, for example. Now there's been studies. A recent one in 2014, which was a sort of a review, and an older one about 15 years back, it showed that the use of protein, amino acids, etc., taken with the nitrates, nitrites, even arginine, which of course, you know, people are combining arginine now with nitrate, has an effect on the body which is counterproductive, and also carcinogenic, and etc. So, you know, at this point, there just isn't enough information out there.
All of this begs the question. Aside from marketing, why are we pursuing the pump? Why are we pursuing this sensation? It sounds to me that this is a multi-pronged question, right? You have. I subscribe to the idea that in order for muscles to get bigger, you must stretch the fascia.
Right.
The fascia of the muscle must stretch. The room has to get bigger if you want to put more furniture in it, period, end of story. So I see the role of the pump, and we even know this from Katsu, you know, where they blood flow restriction and stuff like that, that when you get that pump, there's magic that happens in the muscle. But aside from that, in and of itself, why are we pursuing the pump in the first place?
Good question. I think it's a short-term thing. I think it's something that people see, and they see, you know, these veins popping and muscles getting bigger because of the increase in blood in the area. Then when they're finished training, et cetera, they're off for a day or so, and it goes back down to normal. Is it really increasing skeletal muscle hypertrophy? Is it, you know, improving body composition? I think it's a red herring myself.
And in reality, if you're looking at performance, the last thing you want is lactate buildup and a pump, because that pretty much signals you're at the end of the line. If you're a runner and your legs are getting filled up and they're burning and you're getting a pump in your legs, you're not going to be running much longer. And if you're a weightlifter and you're looking to do reps, we know that that's why people love beta-alanine, because it quenches hydrogen ions. It basically shunts the pump. And it allows you to get more reps out, which for those people who are looking to be stronger and not necessarily feel something in their muscles, that seems to be more important. So I keep coming back to this question. You know, why are we pursuing the pump? Is it just because we can feel it and so we think it's productive?
I think the pump is just one of the effects. I mean, everything you mentioned there of beta-alanine, for example, has been shown to be in studies also a result of nitrate ingestion, whether it's, you know, organic, inorganic, whatever you want to take,
Mauro,
it's really hard to discover exactly. Clarify
that. What do you mean beta-alanine has been a result of nitrate ingestion?
Oh, no. What I'm saying, actually, beta-alanine is also in beetroot. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah. I didn't know that. No, there was beta-alanine in beetroot. Okay.
There's also a number of things in beetroot. That's why it makes that one study that I was looking at kind of suspicious, and it's just been published, about the fact that nitrate has more of an effect on mitochondrial efficiency than taking the nitrates from beetroot juice or any other lettuce or anything like that. A lot of studies have shown that using nitrates increases athletic performance, increases efficiency of exercise, and increases the length of time a person can exercise. These are all sort of combination things that you see with a lot of supplements if you look at them carefully. Then after a while, you kind of come down to what really is effective and what really isn't effective. And we're not there yet with this. We're far away from that.
Let's take a quick commercial break. I want to explore just for a second longer beta-alanine when we come back, okay? Because I want to understand better if beta-alanine is actually the antithesis of let's say, a nitric oxide producer, okay?
Okay.
All right, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest protein bar, now comes the Quest high protein potato chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest high protein potato chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high protein, low carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert, but this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is, I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now. And I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improve the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at liveonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advanced contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States and are low-heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advanced. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advanced banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
From the makers of GLC 2000, now comes Actistatin Pro Athlete. The Actistatin formula gives you all four forms of glucosamine and chondroitin, plus Actistatin's triple patented delivery method to optimize cellular uptake and utilization of glucosamines, chondroitin, ascorbate, and manganese. Regenerate and maintain cartilage. Promote joint mobility and flexibility. flexibility. Replenish lost collagen. Get 20% off your next order using the coupon code SHR. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the GLC banner ad today. Push the limits. Feel the difference with Actistatin.
Prime Nutrition is proud to present Max HP, their most scientifically formulated pre-workout supplement to date. Now available in two great tasting flavors, Tropic Fruit and Raspberry. Max HP is the most ultra-premium pre-workout available and is made without any artificial colors, flavors, or dye. Increasing blood flow to heighten anabolic activity, Max HP is designed to meet the heightened metabolic needs of high-performance athletes. Visit PrimeNutrition.com and use coupon code SUPERHUMANRADIO to receive 20% off of your entire order. Go to PrimeNutrition.com today.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Mauro DiPasquale. Mauro, give your website. It's where people can go and learn more about all your products and your books and everything like that.
Well, my interim website, I'm coming up with a new master website, which is going to be like a paradigm shift to the one I have now. But the one I have now is www.mauromd.com.
Mauromd.com.
Right.
Okay. Mauro.
By the way, I made a mistake.
What? Yes.
Sorry about this. It's not beta-alanine that's in beetroot. I'm sorry. It's betaine.
Oh, yeah, betaine, sure.
Yeah,
sure.
Trimethylglycine.
Trimethylglycine, which has been shown to have performance and body recomposition effects,
yes,
as well. Okay, but
yes.
In the case of beta-alanine, right, beta-alanine is said to, and works even better when it's combined with creatine, beta-alanine is said to quench hydrogen ions, reduce lactate buildup, and allow someone to train longer without getting that burning feeling in their muscles. That burning feeling in the muscles usually coincides with the pump. So what is the relationship between lactate and nitric oxide?
Actually, studies have shown that it doesn't affect lactate at all. It seems to have no effect on lactate.
Beta-alanine we're talking about?
No, I'm talking about nitrates.
Okay, good. Okay.
Yeah. Why? I don't know. I mean, the whole thing is so contradictory. If it decreases the mitochondrial production of ATP, it has an effect on cytochrome C, it has effects on oxidative phosphorylation, which is production of ATP. It has negative effects on the mitochondria, it has negative effects on a lot of areas, and yet we see performance enhancement. This has not been figured out yet. Why? I mean, there's all kinds of hypotheses out there, and I've read them in several papers, but I don't really believe that that's the true answer. Whether or not it does cleave maybe into oxygen, maybe that doesn't show up in the VO2 max. There's an increased oxygen. There's an increased efficiency that we're not catching yet.
Well, think about it. Mauro, if nitric oxide is cleaved into nitrogen, okay,
mm-hmm,
it would not be detectable in both inspired and expired oxygen or carbon dioxide, because it's being cleaved and used on demand in situ, in tissue. And so it's not going to be part of the pulmonary process at all.
Except they've taken biopsies of the muscles and have not found that there's an increased oxygenation.
Okay.
You know, whether or not the biopsies, I mean, that's only one study. Okay. Now, as you know, studies don't exactly, not all studies are exactly above board. You know, so
yeah.
it has to be proved and it has to be independent. They can't have any kind of affiliation with what they're trying to prove. So it can be a slippery slope believing in just one or two studies and then making a decision about things. And we know this.
But wait a minute, Mauro, what are you talking about? Mauro, what are you talking about? That's how supplements are sold, one study, and that's it.
So it's usually done by the supplement company, so they have an interest, and whoever's doing it is getting paid, and they want to get paid some more, so they're going to come up with a positive result.
Yeah.
And if they are moral, ethical about the study, then the supplement company just buries it.
Yeah. So, do you think...
I want to come up with one thing which I forgot to mention.
Gotcha.
Remember I told you about the tolerance against the nitrates and nitrate donors and all that after a certain amount of time.
Right.
They lose the effectiveness and you have to find ways of doing it. I came up with a really novel, in the research, it's kind of buried, vinblastine. You know what that is, don't you?
Of course, yeah. It's an adaptogen, really, right?
Yeah, it's an adaptogen. Now, that's been shown to actually attenuate the tolerance to some extent. And that's about the only thing. Some antioxidants can, some antioxidants can't. Vitamin E, vitamin C have been implicated. Vitamin E negatively, vitamin C positively, but not in all studies. And some studies have shown some things have been useful and others, I mean, it's a real mix-up, let me tell you. I've gone through so many papers and seen so much contradictory, which is not there yet.
So, vinpocetine is also used, I'm trying to think, is it considered a anti-cholinergic, or is it, it's used as a nootropic too, isn't it, vinpocetine?
It's used as a nootropic, it's used to increase cognition, memory, it actually has a number of effects that are beneficial. Whether it's, you know, the nootropics started in Russia like 50 years ago or more, with a number of them that have different effects and different, and they were used by powerlifters, for example, back in the 60s and 70s. So they're not new. Vinpocetine has been around for a while as well, but it does seem to have this effect against nitrate tolerance. So maybe, you know, what we need in order to make nitrates safe and to make them sort of effective, and then to find out why they're effective, is more studies with various compounds, very targeted studies to show just what effect it has. And but this is not going to happen for another 2, 3, 4 years.
Easily. So is beta-alanine the antithesis of a nitric oxide booster? Is it exactly the opposite?
No, actually, beta-alanine has no effect at all on nitric oxide. Beta-alanine is an interesting compound. As you know, it's trimethylglycine. Glycine with 3 methyl groups. It's a methyl
No. We're confused. That's
I'm
betaine.
Sorry, you're
betaine.
Right. Yeah. I'm confusing that with the other one. Yeah, beta-alanine, of course, is the
hydrogen ion quencher.
Alanine. Yeah. Sorry. You know, when I got caught on that betaine,
We're stuck with that now. Yeah.
So, anyways, yeah, beta-alanine has a lot of beneficial effects.
But it doesn't. But it doesn't reduce nitric oxide production, does it?
No, it doesn't. Doesn't have an effect on that at all.
Interesting.
Many things don't, and many things do, but we don't really know. You know, the body is a very complex system. There's a lot of variables involved, and under certain variables, as we know, when we talked about the epigenetics, things change according to what other issues or what other presences there are in the environment. So, you know. Unfortunately, studies look at things with blinders. They look at one specific episode type, and if you don't follow that exactly, you may, and assuming it's an ethical study, then you're not going to get the same response. It could be totally different, as a matter of fact.
What about, we don't have a lot of time left, but what about the effects of nitric oxide on the brain? I know you said there's some links to dementia, but there's also some research out there that shows that PDE5 inhibitors actually do affect libido. You know, when PDE5 inhibitors are prescribed by doctors, they're usually said, you know, if you have a libido but you have erectile dysfunction, this will work for you. It will not improve libido. It's not like an aphrodisiac. But what we're finding out is that's actually not true. We're finding out two things. PDE5 inhibitors seem to A, have some sort of role in the brain which stimulates libido, and B, increase testosterone production.
Yes. A lot of athletes actually use it for that purpose. Combination of purposes, of course. It's nitrates have an effect. Nitric oxide has an effect on the brain. It's been shown to have to improve cognitive function. It's been shown to decrease the, in some instances, depending on dosages, etc. Like I mentioned before, things like dementia. There's a lot of potential uses for it. But maybe these uses are like a biphasic curve. In other words, it has certain effects at certain dosages, and then the opposite effect at higher dosages, etc. You know, so we haven't gotten to the point where we can discriminate what the effect is going to be. But there are studies that show that nitrate and beetroot, whether organic or inorganic, does have a positive effect on cognition, even on longevity.
Well, and it's been my experience that anything that works in one direction works in the other direction when we look at a pathway. So I'm wondering what the role of androgens, most specifically testosterone, are on the endogenous production of nitric oxide.
Actually, that's very interesting because it increases nitric oxide production.
Yeah.
Which has a negative effect on the testicles. This is one of the reasons why there's apoptosis of Leydig cells, is because of the increased nitric oxide produced by exogenous testosterone and metabolic steroids.
So there is a direct correlation, a push-pull effect between nitric oxide in the brain and the production of testosterone and the levels of testosterone and nitric oxide production.
Exactly. And not only that, but it affects testosterone production in almost all levels. In other words, the central nervous system level, the hypothalamic, the thalamic, the pituitary, and then not only does it affects general steroidogenesis, it also affects cortisol. It affects adrenal steroidogenesis. You know, ovarian steroidogenesis, testicular. So it has a much broader effect than just the Leydig cell in the testicles.
Interesting. So, you know, it's amazing how, you know, even Life Extension Foundation about 4 years ago came out in support of anything that raises nitric oxide because they were looking at just one role of nitric oxide, and that was the effects on the vasculature, making it more flexible, more
exactly.
durable. But, you know, this is the mistake we make. You know, we look at things and we go, oh, it's good for this, but it may be bad for 65 other things at the levels that it's good for this. So, once again, it's just like precision medicine is the new word now. Precision supplementation is the next generation of supplementation. Mm-hmm. Understanding the pleiotropic effects of a molecule and then discovering what the sweet spot for that
exactly.
molecule is, and more is not always better.
No, that's very, very true. I mean, this has been shown over the years. It's been shown for a lot of compounds. It's a fact of life. And also, you have to take into account, you know, that ever-present epigenetic effect, the phenotypic effect, depending on what the person is like, what their hardwired DNA is like, what changes are made to the chromatin, the methylation response to the DNA, etc., what is going to be the final outcome, and how do you test to make sure that people, this is your precision medicine, this is individualized medicine, where you actually take the person's phenotypic profile and then see what effects that anything will have on them. This is coming.
I just had a thought, and it's my last question. If there are nitric oxide boosters out there, L-arginine, alpha-ketoglutarate, PDE5 inhibitors, blah, 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 are there nitric oxide inhibitors out there?
Oh, yeah, there are a number of them out there.
Any that are over-the-counter?
Not that I'm aware of. There are a lot of them used in research, and that inhibits arginase, inhibits the actual citrulline production. There are a number of compounds used to ablate this, and also you can genetically ablate it by making knockout mice that can't do certain.
Well,
things.
But I'm thinking of human beings. So let's say a person has been using nitric oxide boosters. For a very long period of time, high doses, multiple times a day, and they're thinking, you know, I want to try to reset my body. Would a mild nitric oxide inhibitor actually be a way to go?
Could be, although my take would be to use arginine.
Just use arginine. So L-arginine allows nitric oxide production on demand in the appropriate pathway, it sounds like. That's the way it goes.
Exactly. And also, there's been a lot of studies that have shown that arginine actually has an effect in hypoxic conditions, as against what people say that nitric mm-hmm. oxide is the only pathway that's available when there's a decrease in oxygen. There's been all kinds of studies that have shown that all kinds of enzymes are involved in production of nitric oxide, and it's a complex mechanism. I'll give you an example. Any drop in the oxygen content in hemoglobin seems to activate the nitrogen oxide, whether by the arginine mechanism or whether by the nitrate mechanism. Have you heard of deoxymyoglobin?
No.
Basically, it's myoglobin carries oxygen in skeletal muscle. If it decreases, you get a deoxymyoglobin. This seems to stimulate the nitric oxide.
Oh, so the deoxymyoglobin is a messenger, then, in other words.
It's a messenger. Neuroglobin, there's an enzyme called xanthine oxoreductase, aldehyde oxide. I mean, I can go on and on and on. There's all kinds of methods that really we have not actually put in perspective yet.
This is so exciting. Even though, if anything, I come away from this interview realizing that I know less about nitric oxide than I thought I did. that might be the actual value of the discussion.
Well, yeah, it is. You know, and a year from now, when we do it again, we'll have maybe more answers.
Yeah, Mauro, thanks so much for coming on today.
Thank you for having me on.
The website is mauromd.com, M-A-U-R-O-M-D.com. Go there and check it out. We'll talk to you soon, Mauro.
Okay, take care, Carl.
Take care. And that's it for today's show. Hope you enjoyed it. Get yourself some Grana Padano cheese. Eat 1 ounce of it a day and drop your blood pressure. And rethink the nitric oxide products. I don't take any. I got to tell you the truth. I get a pretty good pump without doing anything. When I can train. And that will be soon again. And we'll see you tomorrow with Casual Friday. Thank you for listening today. And take care.